On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying,
"Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?"
"Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'"
So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and they were eating. He said,
"Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me."
And they became greatly distressed and began to say that to him one after another,
"The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born."
Judas, who betrayed him, said,
"Surely not I, Rabbi."
"You have said so."
While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said,
"Take, eat, this is my body."
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and saying,
"Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
"You will all become deserters because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the shepherd of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee."
Peter said to him,
"Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you."
"Truly, I tell you, this very night before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times.
"Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples.
Then Jesus went with him to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
He took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, and began to be grieved and agitated.
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me."
And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed,
"My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I am, not what I want, but what you want."
Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter,
"So, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the end of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Again, he went away for the 2nd time and prayed,
"My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done."
Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were so heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the 3rd time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying,
"The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him."
At once he came up to Jesus and said,
"Greetings, Rabbi."
And he kissed him.
"Friend, do what you are here to do."
Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear.
"Put your sword back into place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way?"
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
"Have you come out with the swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this taken place so that the scriptures of prophets may be fulfilled."
Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas the high priest. in whose house the scribes and elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside. He sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. They found none. Though many false witnesses came forward, at last two came forward and said,
"This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days.'"
"Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?"
But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him,
"I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God."
"You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said,
"He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?"
He deserves death.
Then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapping him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is that that struck you?" Now Peter was out sitting outside the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said,
"You also were with Jesus the Galilean."
But he denied it before all of them, saying,
"I do not know what you are talking about."
When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders,
"This man was with Jesus of Nazareth."
Again, he denied it with an oath,
"I do not know the man."
After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter,
"Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you."
Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath,
"I do not know the man."
At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said,
"Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times.
And he went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all of the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. And he said,
"I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.
What is that to us? See to it yourself."
Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed, and he went and hung himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said,
"It is not lawful to put them in the treasury, since they are blood money."
After conferring together, they used them to buy the potter's field as a place to bury foreigners. For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what has been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one on whom a price had been set, on whom some of the people of Israel had set a price, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him,
"Are you the king of Jews?"
"You say so."
But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer.
"Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?"
But he gave them no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At the time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had all gathered, Pilate said to them,
"Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?"
For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him,
"Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him."
Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them,
"Which of the two do you want me to release for you?"
Barabbas.
"Then what should I do with Jesus who is called the Messiah?"
"Crucify him."
"Why? What evil has he done?"
"Crucify him."
So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying,
I am innocent of this man's blood. See it to yourselves.
His blood be on us and on our children.
So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him, mocking him, saying,
Hail, King of the Jews!
They spat on him. They took a reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they lay him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene called Simon. This compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves, casting lots. And then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying,
You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross.
In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying,
He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he wants to. For he said, I am God's son.
The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice,
my God, why have you forsaken me?
When some of the bystanders heard it, they said,
This man is calling for Elijah.
At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said,
Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him.
Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last breath. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After the resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him, who were also keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what had taken place, they were terrified, and they said,
Truly, this man was the Son of God.
Many women were also there, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn in a rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said,
Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him away and tell the people he has raised from the dead. And this last deception will be worse than the first.
You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can.
So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone.
This morning it's about feeling the events of the week. And so I'm going to take a page out of Reverend Ruth's book and lead you through a visio divina, a divine seeing. We have the image before us of Jesus before Pilate. I want you to think about the personal relationship. Think about what you feel as we work our way through this painting. Think about how this affects how you feel about Christ and everything he went through. In my Americanized pronunciation of the Latin, this is ecce homo, see the man, behold the man. It is painted by the Italian master Antonio Cesareri about the time of our American Civil War. And it depicts John chapter 19, verse 5, when a desperate Pilate is appealing to the crowd. See the man, he cries out in that verse. The hunched and pleading Pilate is the center of the painting, but his pale robes do not hold our eye. Where our eye is drawn to is his outstretched arm pointing at Christ. Christ is next to him. Pilate is bending toward the crowd in a nonverbal gesture, giving in to the will of the mob. Behold the man, see the man. And he's giving in to their wants, what they want of him. Meanwhile, Jesus is standing tall and stately with great dignity. At this moment, Jesus is king of the world. The robe is royal red. He is wearing a crown. Yes, the crown is of thorns. But as you look closer at the painting, you don't see any marks of the brutality which he suffered at this point. His posture, the lack of brutality, all of it shows that he is the king of the world. He is the dignified king of glory, in control of himself and very much in control of an uncontrollable situation. His posture, his silence, his demeanor, the way he's carrying himself, all speak to his ability to call down legions of angel armies, should he so choose. Now look how alone Jesus is in this picture. There's no James, no John, or Peter, or Mary. He's all alone. There's guards right next to him, and they're standing upright because they are just following orders. The brutality they have suffered upon Jesus is a day at work for them. But at the same time, they're leaning back, maybe distancing themselves from the Prince of Peace. And then we have the people who are leaning forward, those who are condemning him, those who want to crucify him. They want an answer, and they want it now, and they're leaning forward, straining to kill him. Someone even suggested that this perspective from behind, we are inside of Pilate's porch. We're inside of his palace. And so Cesare is trying to show that maybe we're part of Pilate's government. Or even worse, maybe we are part of those who are condemning Christ. Rather than just observers, we're in this painting. How does that make us feel? To think we're part of the Roman legion or part of those who condemn Christ. Then we see the overflowing crowd. Look at the rooftops. They're crying out. They're overflowing. Crucify him. And then you look at the crowd on the ground, and it goes all the way back to the horizon, back to infinity. Back to infinity, Christ has no supporters. No supporters. They are all there to see him crucified. The crowd goes to the horizon. All the world is against him. At the same time, all the world needs saved. I said Christ was alone, but I misspoke. Look at the faces. You don't see anyone's face. You don't even see, you see the back of Pilate's head. Even Christ is in profile. Jesus is almost alone, except for the one face of the handsome woman facing us, the sad, handsome woman who is facing us. We believe that is Pontius Pilate's wife. She's only mentioned once in the Bible, but you remember it. You remember her. Our scripture readers just read it. Have nothing to do with this man, this innocent man. For today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him. The early church was so taken by this dream, so taken by her witness to Jesus' innocence, the only one around who is proclaiming his innocence, that they gave this unnamed woman in the Bible a name. They have called her Claudia since the early days of the church. And then the church even canonized her as a saint. So she is Saint Claudia. And so we see Saint Claudia about to collapse. She is truly suffering for her belief in Jesus. And you see her arm on top of the other woman's shoulder as if the servant woman is holding her up because she's about to collapse. How would we feel if we were there? The servant woman, who's also suffering, though, look at her left hand. She reaches out her left hand in a gesture of support and love and puts it right on her. So Jesus isn't alone. He has two supporters. For the ease of storytelling, the play, Jesus Christ Superstar, has the Pilate, attributes the dream to Pilate. And the verse is, he's singing of the man he's met, and he sings out, "The room was full of wild and angry men. They seemed to hate this man." And this is the snapshot Cesare gives us. This is the moment he's depicting. The crowd is all around him, wild and angry, crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." How did you feel just now when our young people cried out, "Crucify him"? Continuing with Superstar, Pilate sings out, "Then I saw thousands of millions crying for this man." Here's where we jump past the static moment of the painting. We are just beginning Holy Week. We will, in turn, live out the Last Supper. The suffering of Jesus in the garden. The arrest of Jesus, betrayed with a kiss. His passion, his murder on a tree. His burial. And then resurrection. We will join thousands of millions who have come, who are here and will come, crying out first, "Crucify him," then crying out, "Hosanna Adonai." "Lord, save us. Lord, save us." Then we will move to, "He is risen. He is risen. He is risen.